Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on January 21st of 2021. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to discuss some of the shows we've been watching, most of which are anime, some of which are on Toonami. So, before anything else, I just wanted to mention that I'm not going to mention anything. We're just going to go right into it.
Okay.
All right, so we have for our first one, Attack on Titan, episode 61, in which, there's, not really that much happened in this episode that I remember. The big thing is that they've decided that they need, Zeke suggests, hang on one sec, I have to handle something. Sorry about that. Okay, where was I? Right, they were deciding they need to go back to the island, to try to get, the power of the founding Titan and stuff. And actually, we're in the scene with the military commander guys. There's actually a line there that's actually foreshadows something that happens way later, which is actually kind of interesting to notice. Unfortunately, I can't say what it was because just telling you what line it was spoils it.
Right, yeah. The good thing about this episode was that now I finally understand who these people are and why they're doing what they're doing and what's going on. So, yeah, I found this episode to be very useful in understanding these characters better, although I'm sure that it's going to set up for some sort of sappy moment whenever one of these kids eventually gets killed. But I found this episode to be actually pretty enjoyable and helpful, given that I didn't know what was going on last episode.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it was decent in regards to that. I was just having trouble summarizing the plot because I was like, well, there's not really that much plot in it. Doesn't make it bad. I'm a little surprised that I do like Gabby in the anime, like the girl. Like, because I never really cared for her in the manga. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Speaking of, I am going to be interested in how things go. Like I said, the manga is close to an ending, and I'm going to say one thing. This is more about the anime. I'll give it credit for one thing. I am reading it. I legitimately have no idea how this thing is going to end. As in, like, I have no idea who's actually going to win and how and what's going to happen. It's not like something like, you know, Naruto, where like, oh, well, they'll beat the bad guy and save the world. The end.
Maybe it's going to do what I've been calling for, because I want, like, one series where the bad guys win and then they're celebrating about it at the end. Like, that would be... Maybe Attack on Titan will fulfill that wish for me.
The author did say years ago, he said something like, well, the original plan for the series was to have everyone die at the end, but the series is popular, so I might change that. The problem is you don't know if he was joking or not.
Yeah.
All I know is that he actually spoiled the final, like a year or maybe longer ago, he spoiled the final panel of the manga, except it's one of those things where you look at it and it's just, I mean, I can tell you, it's not even really a spoiler. It's just this character looking away and holding this baby, and they just say, you are free. And that's it. You have no other context for it. You don't even know who's saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have speculated it's Aaron based on the hairstyle, but we don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll see. It's this The manga will probably be ending at about the same time this part of the first season ends, because they say it's 16 episodes, but that is not going to cover the rest of the series. So they're either going to have to split it or, well, I've already said all this before.
Well, yeah, that was actually a pretty big spoiler you just gave, because by saying it's, most people think it's Eren, that means that obviously Eren survives to the end. So,
well,
yeah.
Technically, no. I mean, the series isn't over. Yeah, okay, I get that. The series isn't over yet. He might die, okay? I'm not joking. He might die. Dang. But anyway, right. So anyway, moving on. Although I don't think it's too much of a spoiler to say the main character survives until at least close to the end of a series. What series actually had the main character? What's the series that had the main character not live till the end of the series? A series where they had to recast the actor because someone quit doesn't count.
Yeah. Yeah, the joke amongst my friends was always that Julius Caesar doesn't make any sense, why it's called Julius Caesar, because Caesar dies halfway through the...
Well, he's not the main character, so...
Yeah, I know he's not. I know. So...
it's like Othello. I saw that play, and it isn't until you actually watch it that you realize the main character of that is Iago.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually... okay, another tangent, but there's this one Jeopardy, on Jeopardy, there's a question, it was, what character had the most lines in a Shakespeare play that was not the title character for its play? And I knew instantly it had to be Iago, because he's the main character of the play, but that's not his name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So, right. So then we've got Sword Art Online episode 93. So they fight the bad guys, and the bad guy and Kirito is able to beat him because he gets more power from Yu-Gi-Oh! It's time to duel. I mean, they are having a duel here.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's weird because, like, for this and the last few episodes, Kirito keeps getting all these crazy power-ups from Yu-Gi-Oh! And like a remark to you, I'm just thinking, wow, Yu-Gi-Oh! Was way more useful to Kirito after he died.
Yeah. Yeah. He was kind of useless when he was alive. And he helped turn Kirito into a vegetable. Oh, now he's snapped out. Now he's more of a fruit. So, yeah, and now Kirito's stuck in there for the next 200 years, which would mean that's two-thirds of the time it's going to take the Enterprise to get back from wherever the Traveler sent them to. So, so only 100 years after that will the Enterprise get back home.
Okay, so, oh, one of, yeah, so the other, but the other thing I wanted to mention is the fact that, so Kirito is able to beat the enemy basically by doing the spirit bomb.
Yeah. Everyone has to give him his energy. But it didn't take, Oh, well, no, it kind of did take a full episode for it to power up. So, yeah, it was a lot like the spirit bomb. Everyone had to spend their time powering it up.
Yeah. Anyway, let's see what's next. Okay, so I know you didn't watch it, but I just briefly wanted to mention, what was I saying? For Fire Force, which was episode 32, you didn't miss anything. It wasn't that interesting of an episode. Needs more evil Kuniko.
So, yeah, was it, now what kind of tone was the episode? Was it like all lighthearted and joking around, or was it serious?
It was more on the serious side from what I remember.
Okay.
So, and we've got Assassination Classroom, episode 17. So they go on the, so they, because they did like the best or whatever, they end up getting this special field trip to the island thing. There's actually, I at the beginning, it's kind of funny because there's that little weird, I can't even remember his name, the weird sort of mascot thing that explains stuff about the school. And then he gets all annoyed when he finds out Class E won it.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, in case you were wondering, because one of the words he says is bleeped out, that was like, that wasn't something Toonami did. If you look at the original dub, that's still, that was bleeped out there. I think they just did that whole, that as a joke.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they go there, and there's a lot of tomfoolery.
Yep. And, yeah, rather poor taste in the theme of this episode, which is that an octopus-like character is into, well, he's into that. And, yeah, and, yeah, I can't remember much else besides him sitting on that pile of magazines.
I mean, there's also them getting ready to try to carry out the assassination, which is indicated they're about to do at the end of the episode, which left me thinking, oh, come on, you're not, that's it? You all this setup and you're not going to do it until the next episode?
Well, we know it's going to fail because they already showed us what their plan was. So as soon as they show the plan, it's like, okay, we know they failed.
I can think of times where they showed the plan and it worked, but there's always a complication of some kind they have to deal with.
Yeah. Like Scooby was the worst of that. Scooby-Doo. Every time they showed the plan, you knew it wasn't going to work.
I did always like the thing in Codename Kids Next Door where they go through the plan and one of the characters said, that won't work. And it just cuts later and says, I can't believe that worked. That was funny. Although then it turns out that they, even though they did the plan right, they something else went wrong, so they had to go back and redo it. But still, I like that gag. We got that. So then we've got that new show, SSSS Gridman, episode 1. So basically the what happens in the series is that there's a kid and he can see who doesn't have a memory of anything, and he keeps seeing this robot on this computer thing called Gridman, who which no one else can, and then giant monsters appear, and then he actually, I can't remember, did he like fuse with Gridman to fight them? Was he operating the robot or what? Well, anyway, it's basically Power Rangers after the monster gets big. And then they manage to beat it. And then they find, but then they find out that the school, which was destroyed in the attack, is suddenly back. You know, just like how on Power Rangers, you know, you can always have destruction, everything's fine. Although I think they said at one point that all the battles take place in the abandoned warehouse district.
Was that supposed to be a joke?
That is apparently what they actually said in an episode of Power Rangers.
That's, yeah, well, my thoughts on this episode were, well, not good. I did not really have any interest in this. Unfortunately, it just seemed to me like, I don't know. I was just not interested in it. And, yeah, the whole Power Rangers thing, I know that's the genre this is, and I've never really gotten into things of the genre. I don't know how to pronounce it. There's a word for it.
Tokusatsu, I think.
Yes, that's it. And I know this because there was an anime convention I was at, and this is a long time ago, back when there used to be anime conventions, but actually longer than that. We're talking like over a decade, where the theme of the con was Toku, I can't say it, but I was clueless as to what it was until like closing ceremonies, and then they finally, and I was like, oh, so that's what that is. I couldn't figure it out. So, yeah, just, I don't know. This just didn't catch my interest. And, yeah, I don't know if I'm going to continue on with it. I might give it a couple more episodes because, remember, the three-episode rule, you have to give everything three episodes. So,
yeah. Well, this one is only 12 episodes. To be honest, I wasn't that interested in a lot of it. But what did actually pique my interest towards the end was when they find out that the school was destroyed, but it's back, and no one knows any. No one seems to find out of the ordinary. That was like the one part at the with if not for that, I might have just like bailed on it. But it's gotten me at least interested enough to probably watch one more. Episode. It just, things are more strict because there's a bunch of stuff we're watching and this airs late. So,
yeah, I can't stay up for it, but I'm definitely going to do the three episode rule because I would be not fulfilling my duty as a fan. I think there's a couple things in the past I only watched two episodes of, but it wasn't because they weren't good. It was because I watched the two episodes and then I got distracted and then I forgot about them. And now I'm still waiting. I'd have to go back and start from the first episode again. Slayers was one of those shows, which is supposed to be good, and I thought it was good, but I just got distracted and never got around to continuing it. But this show I don't even know how to describe it. Just not that interesting, you know?
Yeah. And in terms of tokusatsu, well, really the only ones I've watched are Power Rangers and Super Sentai. Power Rangers, I liked some of the... I actually really liked some of the later seasons, but I still, to this day, don't really like the earlier episodes because it's just the same thing over and over. Here's the plot of the first season. It's 60 or so episodes. Can be summarized essentially as this. They get powers. Tommy becomes the Green Ranger. He is no longer the Green Ranger. He becomes the Green Ranger again. That is the extent of plot advancement over 60 episodes. The later season started having a bit more continuity, which made them more interesting. Yeah, I haven't been checking out the more recent ones, though. I did watch some seasons of Super Sentai, which is the series that Power Rangers is what is based on. It's do you know how that works? Power Rangers, they just took like the battle footage from this Japanese show called Super Sentai and then filmed the stuff with the American actors and kind of spliced them together to make the show.
Really?
Yes.
that's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever wonder why in the original series the Yellow Ranger was a girl but was mysteriously, when transformed, completely flat-chested? It's because the Yellow Ranger was a guy in the original Super Sentai series, but they just but for like Power Rangers, they decided, I guess, they wanted more girls, so they changed that. Yeah, each season of Power Rangers has been based on a season of Super Sentai. So, yeah. I've seen some of them. Some are good, some are not so good. But this is not the Super Sentai podcast. So, that's enough of that tangent. but yeah, that was... although I should admit, this was apparently based on an old, at least inspired by an older, yeah, there was a live action tokusatsu series called Gridman, like in the 90s or 80s. Okay. All right. So that's it for the, Toonami stuff. Next.
Wait a minute. Are we forgetting something? No, we aren't. Never mind. I thought we forgot Assassination Classroom, but
if you want to talk about Dragon Ball Super,
well, yeah, one of the universes got wiped out, and that means that Goku better start taking this seriously, because. Which is so weird. It's like we see Goku against that one universe, and it's like, what about all the other universes? What are they doing right now?
They're presumably fighting each other because it is a big free-for-all.
Yeah. wouldn't it be like helpful if you use my Super Smash Brothers strategy, which my strategy was always in a four player fight, I always pick a character like Pikachu who's really fast and just run away for the whole episode while everyone else whole match while everyone else beats each other up, and then by the time they're finished beating each other up, you have a huge advantage over whichever person survives. I did that in a tournament once, and it wasn't a very popular idea, but it worked.
I'm more surprised that they had tournaments with four people. I just assumed the tournaments were one-on-one.
They now are. That was a very, very early anime convention. Like, we're talking a long time ago. But actually, my first one I ever went to, and I never realized how frowned upon that was. But to be fair, Super Smash Brothers was meant to be played in with all the items on, with all the stages on. It wasn't meant to be played the way competitive players play it. So I at least hold on to that, because I honestly now hate Super Smash Brothers, because the competitive players have ruined it for me. Like, I can't go to a con and start playing it, because the competitive players you have to play it their way. And I just think it's so stupid. But that's a totally different topic. So, yeah, I guess we can start on our non-Toonami stuff now.
Yeah, I just do. But it is interesting. You were talking about them being two-player. I just remember since it seems at least in, like, you know, the tournaments that people watch, it's always two-player. Well, I don't know. Are there four players where you have people on teams versus each other? That seems like it could be cool. But I just remember the original Super Smash Bros. Commercial, the one where it's got like Mario, Pikachu, Donkey Kong, Yoshi, and they're all just in that field and while so happy together plays, and then they start fighting each other.
I don't remember that.
Oh, you have to look it up. It's amazing. It's like, just look up Super Smash Bros. Commercial. It's this like it's this brief thing, and you with them, and they're all just strolling through this field, and they all start fighting. It's actually a really great commercial. But I just remember when it's like advertising it, it's like referring to it as like a four player thing. And I'm like, wow, they were really stressing that. And people don't seem to do it that much.
Yep.
Well, not competitively. I'm sure there's times when people, you know, just get some friends together and do it. Anyway, so there we go with that. I guess we'll move on to the non-Toonami stuff. So, first, we've got, Yashahime, episode 15. Oh boy, did this one provoke a lot more discussion online than the last, I think, five put together, at least.
Yeah.
Okay, so, well, you were thinking about, you were expecting it, but it's confirmed, yes, Rin is the mother of two of the characters. I'm not exactly sure. You know what people pointed out? It's apparently weird that Sesshomaru got her pregnant before Kagome did that with Inuyasha, and I'm just thinking that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
I did like the joke everyone was saying, Sesshomaru, you sly dog, you. So he got that, and he does the responsible thing as a parent. He just takes them and dumps them in the forest.
Yeah, that was really, that made no sense at all, but I'm sure we'll get some sort of explanation. I hope. Yeah. Why he would do that.
I mean, we don't know why he apparently sided with what's-his-name to help him to imprison Inuyasha and Kagome, helping explain where they went. The other thing, of course, is that Sesshomaru and Inuyasha did team up to destroy this comet, which they say like comes every 500 years or something, which... I did not come up with this, but I did. But someone posted, and I'm like, "Oh wow, that probably is what's going to happen with the series," because they like stress that 500 years thing. The series in the past in series takes place about 500 years before the present, right?
Right.
So they're probably going to have the comet thing returning present time, and they'll have to, you know, go to the present and stop it at some point.
Oh yeah. How about that?
That was basically the episode. So why didn't we get this stuff earlier?
Yeah, really. Yeah, if they would have had this a lot earlier, I would have felt like really into this right now. But, you know, they waited so long. This was probably the most entertaining episode, since very early on in the series or in the season. So, I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that they brought back the old characters, but, I still don't understand why Sumeru just like did what he did. Like, why did he just like go and grab the kids off Rin like right after she has them and dump them in the forest? And like that's the responsible thing. As a like, I don't understand why he just didn't leave them with her. If they needed to be safe, why not leave them with her? Because he's not going to let her die, obviously. I mean, he's got such a special bond with her. But Rin, of course. You got to love Rin because she has, like, the biggest amount of faith I've ever seen. One person having in another person. I've never seen anyone have more faith than her. So she believes that he's going to do the right thing. So obviously he is. So yeah, we'll see how this goes and how Susumu and Inuyasha get wiped off the map.
Well, we already know why Inuyasha's not around.
Sesshomaru's, yeah, we know that. Yeah.
Sesshomaru just has been, I don't know, maybe the producers told him, look, man, we got to stretch this out, so why don't you just stay out of it for a while?
Yeah. Yeah, we know Inuyasha, we just don't know Sesshomaru yet, so, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and he also is when the guy, people are like, you know, burning down the woods where his, you know, daughter's wearing. He's just like, yeah, whatever.
What a great father. He's up there with, what's his name?
Gendo Ikari?
Hohenheim. Remember him? Remember that? Remember that show?
Full Metal Alchemist, yeah. Well, wait, which Hohenheim?
Yeah, which one? I don't know which one was worse. I they were both pretty bad. The later one got a little bit of redemption, but yeah.
Okay, so yeah. I wasn't real. I mean, I knew this was the direction they probably would go. I still didn't really like Rin being the mother. But yeah, I mean, I guess they just figured, well, who else are they gonna have it be? Maybe I guess they just because there weren't really any other candidates, and I guess they just didn't want Sesshomaru to somehow reproduce asexually. Anyway, so that's that. But yeah, despite me disliking that portion, stuff happened. We found out information we've been waiting this whole time. I think the series, I don't know how long it's going to be. I thought it was going to be 26, but I saw someone saying, I don't know if this is true, it's going to be 52 episodes.
Really?
Which just makes me think, well, that's kind of long. Maybe you would have had better pacing if you had cut down on the length. But yeah, next episode, it does look like we'll be getting some more background on Moraha. So at least we're getting some explanation for things. There's still stuff that hasn't really been quite explained, but at least we're getting stuff finally.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was Yashahime 15. Then we've got Ghost in the Shell, episode 42. So most of this episode is really just an info dump on the life of Kuze. Remember that guy who tried to kill apparently the prime minister and was also with the rest of those guys to commit the suicide, except he didn't and just left and they're looking for him. So, yeah, it's mostly just stuff about his backstory. it's reminiscent of that episode that was just a big, like, story of, hey, these two kids that we didn't like. And this one is just, hey, here's the story of him. We'll just have some, we'll include some narration and stuff. And I'm just like, wow, that's, I don't think you had to spend this much of the episode on it.
Yeah, this episode was really dull. Just telling this whole big long story and all this politics talk and, you know, the refugees, you know, how many times did they say the word refugee in this episode? Like they should have gotten paid by the word refugee. So every time they said the word refugee, they get paid because, man, that's all they wanted to talk about. And it was going over my head the whole way. And yeah, I just thought this episode was really dull.
There was one thing, though, that I actually did find interesting. It was a part where they mention, they're talking about him, and it was when he was hanging out with the refugee people or whatever. And it says that he went into the camp and he, like, folded, like, I can't remember exactly what they said, but they said something about, like, folding origami. And it just made me suddenly think, that previous episode, the other kind of boring one, was all about, you know, the kid trying to make those, like, origami, like, swans or something like that. And it mentioned that they don't know what happened to him, but they thought that he kind of joined the army and got shipped out or whatever. And that seems to, and that matches, this part of Kuze's backstory. So I think there's a, that connection makes me think there's a reasonable probability he's actually going to be the boy from that flashback, which if so would actually help connect things and make these feel a little more worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not completely worthwhile. They still went on too long, but it would make it seem better.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So now we're on to ReZero episode 41. So Subaru basically does the whole, hey, here's my big analysis of your character and motivation speech to Garfield. Which does seem to kind of work, but only in getting Garfield angry at him and attacking. And Subaru, who has apparently gained superpowers, somehow is able to actually beat him. I mean, with a little help, but he still does he still does most of the work there. And then even though the whole thing was about how, this was the confusing part, because the whole thing is about how Amelia has to go through the stuff, but they just sit around and wait so Garfield can go through the first gate himself. You know, the one that, like, shows you the past, and that, him seeing stuff in the past and realizing he was misremembering stuff clears things up for him. So now he's on their side and stuff. And then Amelia goes in to do it herself and runs across Echidna.
And why again are they going through this trial thing?
Because they need to, because until someone can go through and pass the trials, that they most of the people in the town aren't going to be able to leave.
And why can't they leave?
I can't remember the specifics, some kind of curse or spell or something was put on it. I can't remember the exact rules. Wasn't it like anyone of like mixed blood or something couldn't, leave? So like a bunch of people are, so most of the town is trapped and can't leave. And that also includes, like Roswell, it said, couldn't leave. Amelia can't. Subaru can because he's just a regular old human. But still, they need to do that so that that was the goal, to break the curse.
Mm-hmm.
So, on the whole, my feelings towards this episode were positive, even if I am just kind of left wondering, well, because I when Garfield goes through it, I was thinking, oh, so is he going to go through all of them? Except he just does the first one, which I guess provides some catharsis for him, but otherwise doesn't really seem to do that much for the plot. I mean, they just wait around for him to wake up, rather, even though Subaru knows they're actually on a time crunch, instead of, you know, Amelia doing it right away.
Yeah. My opinion of this episode was actually pretty good. Some of the whole fight between Subaru and Garfield was really, it was, I don't know how to describe it. But they, yeah, some of that fight, it was like, okay, so they're arguing, and, you know, Subaru says stuff that finally gets him to become a good guy. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good episode. I'm just hoping that Echidna doesn't ruin things by, making us go back into these dream worlds and all the killer bunnies and all that stuff again. So, yeah.
Yeah, they need the holy hand grenade. I know that's the most obvious joke, but I don't think I've made it for a while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did like it. There was actually a lot of stuff in here I liked, like especially a bunch of the jokes were funny. It was a fun episode. I am, as always, almost always seems to be the case with ReZero, excited to see what happens in the next episode. I think ReZero, more than any other anime we've watched, we're watching, or maybe even have watched, is the one that makes me want to see what will happen in the next episode the most. Now, to be fair, that's not entirely a fair comparison for some, because some of the anime I've, you know, already read like the manga for, so I can't get super excited about stuff like Dr. Stone or Attack on Titan. What will happen next? Oh, well, I know. I've known that because I read the chapter 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, ReZero, even when it's flawed, always gets me interested in what's going on next. Okay. So, We can discuss that time we got reincarnated as a slime quick if you want. I only was able to see the first half of it.
More stuff about Rimuru setting up his kingdom. That's pretty much all it really is. This the funniest moment of this episode was whenever Sion took a temper tantrum. Did you see that part?
Was it in the first half?
I don't remember.
Are you talking about the part where she had like the giant ball of energy?
No. Oh. There was a different. Okay. So basically, you'll know whenever you see it. She takes a temper tantrum, and it's a pretty funny scene. So that's what I take away from this episode, that little tidbit of hilarity. But mostly he's just setting up his kingdom, and we'll find out if it doesn't look like he's gonna have any serious opposition anytime soon. So actually calling him a he is misleading, because he was a he whenever he was in the human world, but now he isn't a he. He's just I don't know how to
It said when he got the human form and he sees himself, he mentions that he's apparently genderless.
Right.
But I don't know if that means Rimuru's, like, I don't know how the, it just means in the human form, he's genderless. I don't know about the slime form. I don't know what changes, what's the difference between a female slime and a male slime? And do I actually want to know?
Oh, man.
Well, I don't know. I think everyone refers to Rimuru as a he, but I don't know if that's something in, like, if that was something they had to do in English or if Japanese was more like unclear on that. But I assume it's still a he.
Uh huh.
Although I'd have to double check. It feels like Rimuru had longer hair than before. Rimuru just looked more feminine because of the hair, it seemed to me. Maybe it was just me.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay. So, that was that time I got reincarnated as a slime, episode 26, which I only saw the first half of. I'm sorry about that. I was hoping I would have time to get to it before recording the podcast, but I forgot that ReZero episodes are like 28 or 29 minutes now. So unfortunately, the time I thought would go to this went instead to watching ReZero because it's longer.
Uh-huh.
I need to know, I should look up and see what in the world they do in terms of advertising. Because if you've got 29 minutes, that does not leave much room for advertising on TV.
Yeah.
Doing that, like, you know, for maybe one special episode, sure, but they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not bad. I mean, it means we get more stuff, and that's nice enough, but it does mean it takes more time. Okay. So we got that. I guess now we can list our top three favorites.
Okay. My favorite of the week. Well, I'll go from three to one. So let's see. Okay, that.
Do you want me to try?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. For me, third place would be Attack on Titan. Second place would be Yashahime. And then, no, I'm sorry, I goofed that. I goofed up the order. Yashahime is third place. Attack on Titan is second place. And then ReZero would be first.
Okay, so yeah, I'll probably go with Slime at number three, Attack on Titan number two, and Yashahime number one. So, yeah, that's what I'm going with.
Okay. So, yeah, we've got that. That covers the anime stuff, although I did want to mention another entry in the I can't believe this is actually the title of the series category, which is some new anime called Suppose a Kid from the Last Dungeon Boonies Moved to a Starter Town. Like, that just seems to be a thing, to have these ridiculous titles.
Yeah, they keep on coming up with more and more ridiculous ones. Like, Is the Order a Rabbit? That was one of my favorite titles.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, I guess you can say that that time I got reincarnated as a slime, like, kind of falls into that. But that one, I feel, is at the point where it's weird, but it's not quite to the level it's not like some of these series that I've just named so crazy. It makes me just at least want to find out what it's about just because of how insane the title is.
Actually, that's the reason why I started watching Slime. I was like, boy, that's a weird name for a series. I wonder what that show's like. So I decided to watch it, and then I kind of got hooked. So, ReZero was an even weirder way for me to get interested in it. I only got interested in it because I followed a group on Facebook that ranked people's waifus, and it ranked one of these girls got an F, and I was like, boy, this seems like the girl for me. So that's why I started watching ReZero. So yeah.
Yeah, that was although I did find, well, I don't know if this counts because this is, I was just glancing over like crazy names for light novel series because it's always light novels that have these names, it seems. It's never like an anime doesn't have this sort of title if it's an original series, and manga don't have this. It's always something that's a light novel. Like this one isn't an anime. I think it's just a light novel, but I thought I have to share it. Being able to edit skills in another world, I gained OP waifus.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if anything can top that. So, that's Toonami Therapy. Past episodes on toonamitherapy.podbean.com. And now we'll move on to Star Trek. The Next Generation, Episode 8, Justice. So they come across this planet that's apparently pre-warp, and they decide, well, let's have Shore leave here. So they go down, and everything seems great, but then they find out that if you break any of the laws in a particular location, which you don't know of, the punishment is actually death. And Wesley, of course, ends up accidentally doing that. So they're going to kill him. But Picard is like, well, I can't do anything because of the Prime Directive. Screw it. Let's do it anyway. So then he decides to do that, except the powerful entity that guards the people, won't let them. But Picard gives a speech, and then it's like, well, okay. And then they all just leave. And that's the episode.
Yeah. So you had this ridiculous laws and. What's funny is that I actually saw this episode like a couple months ago, and I just was flipping through and watching, and this episode came on. So I was like, oh, I remember all this. I love the part where Data was babbling. That was pretty funny. But yeah, this episode seemed like it really was trying to force the whole conflict thing. It didn't seem that. And then it was like, it seemed like Picard just figured things out just by making a good speech. And because he came up with a good enough speech, they were able to get away. And what's funny is, like, as soon as he finishes that speech, then all you see is the Enterprise and executive producer Gene Roddenberry, and that's it. So it's like he just says the speech. Okay, that must have been good enough, and now it's over.
Was it? I thought what happened was he gave the speech to them. Then they just teleported back to the Enterprise. There's a brief bit where he says, oh, where they kind of talk to the sort of entity thing. And then that's basically the end of the episode.
You know what? That's possible. But Since my Blu-ray stopped working, I've had to watch the BBC America cut. So BBC America cuts out certain scenes. So perhaps it cut out that scene. So, Yeah. Unfortunately, my Blu-ray just stopped working and I had to send it back. So, yeah, unfortunately, we have that problem. But, yeah, so.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I really did not like this episode. I think this is the worst of the episodes we've seen so far. It made me think, maybe I was a little harsh on Code of Honor after watching this episode. Because it's like, so I look at Code of Honor. So what's the problems with that episode? Well, there's the casting, which brings in some unintentional, or maybe it was intentional, I don't know, racism. Well, what do you know? There's that in this episode. You know, a whole idyllic planet completely composed of white people with blonde hair. So we got that. Okay, how about a kind of dumb conflict made in part because of the Prime Directive? What do you know? We got that here, and it's actually possibly dumber in this episode. So the whole thing is that they're not supposed to, you know, interfere with pre-warp civilizations and stuff. But they go down to the planet and go, hey, we're aliens. And that seems pretty interfering. I mean, they were even talking about how the people there... Well, actually, I need to share this because it's such a baffling line. So Geordi, or who was it? Geordi is talking about the people. He says, they make love at the drop of a hat. And then Tasha says... any hat. I'm just like, what does that even mean? So implying that, you know, members of the Enterprise crew might actually, you know, have sex with these people. That seems pretty interfering if there's any offspring.
Yeah.
But then after all that, Picard's like, oh, I can't save Wesley. It might violate the Prime Directive.
Yeah, that made little sense. Like, how does saving Wesley violate the Prime Directive? I couldn't figure it out.
Because it's interfering with the internal matters of, like, the civilization, especially because it's pre-warp, because apparently pre-warp civilizations have harsher, like, you know, are more restrictive in that sort of thing. But... the problem is that doesn't make any sense when you consider the first half of the episode.
Yeah.
I remember, like, the episode, a later one, called First Contact, no relation to the movie, it was about, like, them making contact with, like, the leader of this planet that's about to achieve warp capability and stuff. And with that one, with people who it seems would be more... suited for that sort of thing, they're like very quiet. They keep they like, you know, only contact the most higher up people. Here it's just like, well, we'll just beam down and walk around with everyone, no problem. That wouldn't, you know, cause problems. So to suddenly bring up the Prime Directive just doesn't make sense. And another thing is the way, so again, So the way it works is that in specific locations, but you don't know where and when it will be, if anyone breaks any law, that gets them the death penalty, which is how they have their society work, because no one knows where any of that is, so no one risks death. I don't understand how at all that would actually work as a deterrent when you stop to think about it. I mean, I can understand, okay, so for some of the more minor crimes, sure, makes sense. But if you're going to be, but for, like, the more serious stuff, like, say, like, you know, murder or whatever, that's not something that you usually, that's not something you would be doing out normally in broad daylight where you could usually be caught anyway. Like, you, so how would they, does that mean that if you were to kill someone and it wasn't in the, like, punishment zone or whatever it's called, you, it would be fine? It seems to me like that would encourage murder, because it would mean if you're, if you try to make it so you're not, you take normal stuff and, you know, trying to not be caught. But it means even if you are caught, as long as it didn't happen at that time in that place, you're golden.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with this episode.
And
The point of them just walking around out there and throwing balls around? Like, what? Like, how was that beneficial at all?
Well, because they had to have them throw the ball so Wesley would accidentally crash into the thing he was forbidden to crash into, so he would, you know, be found guilty. And that was another thing I knew. So the other kids he was with, they know about this stuff. They know that you can't step those things that are surrounded by that white stuff. You can't step into, or else you'll break the law and possibly die. So why in the world does he throw the ball directly towards that? Like directly towards it. So of course Wesley, you know, runs off trying to capture it and accidentally crashes into the stuff. If you had thrown the ball in any other direction, that wouldn't have happened. Why would you do that?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's also one of those episodes where, you know, they, like, make the Ito, like, the alien, the aliens have these ridiculous outfits that are just there to try to be sexy. And I'm going to be honest, about 98% of the time that Star Trek tries to be sexy and instead just feels embarrassing.
Yeah.
This was one of them. So, yeah, I think I'm looking back and I'm like, wow, maybe I was too harsh on Code of Honor, because this had all the problems that one did, except the plot made less sense. And also this had a problem, an even worse problem, in that it was way more boring. At least Code of Honor had its, you know, conflict established early. It was a dumb conflict, but here you have to wait half the episode for any kind of real conflict to happen.
And the solution was pretty stupid. It was just Picard said a good enough speech, mm-hmm. and that was enough to end it. So,
yeah. Two other comments I had. Here's a weird one. So Riker says, like, when in Rome, eh? And Worf says, when in where? I'm thinking, Worf, you were raised by humans. You should know this. That said, there actually were, despite my dislike of this episode, there were a few isolated good bits. There's a funny line where Picard just says, why has everything become a something or a whatever? That was actually funny.
Yeah.
And there's also actually a pretty cool line where Data is talking to Picard and says, would you save one life over 1,000, sir? And Picard says, I refuse to let arithmetic decide questions like that.
Yeah, that was good. in fact, people remember that line pretty well. So I found it whenever I was watching the episode, I googled that line and a lot of people quoted it, so that was pretty good. I like that whole Data babbling scene. I thought that was kind of funny. That was one of the rare good moments of the episode.
Yeah, but other than all that, like I said, I think this is the worst episode we've seen of the series so far. It having a few decent parts isn't enough to redeem it for me. So you want to move into our... Do you have anything else to say about it?
No, not really.
All right. For me, for justice, this gets a 2 out of 10.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 1 out of 10. So, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about it, but I decided, well, there's a few smidgens of good things there. And also, I can't really feel like I can give something a 0 or a 1 unless it's something that, like, this episode was mostly just really stupid and boring. I feel like something has to just go the extra mile to really make me angry to get something that low. But, yeah, like I said, I think this was weaker than Code of Honor. It just ends up with the same score on the 1 to 10, but... On the plus side, I think there's only one episode, I think there's only one more episode in season one that's considered, you know, like the really bad ones. So not to say that the rest are good. It's just, I've heard that, I think Angel One is the only like one considered like, you know, like the worst of the series after this for the first season.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good.
I have no idea. Of course, it could be wrong. Maybe we'll find another one that's much worse. What is the next episode anyway? So yeah, that was Justice. It's pretty bad.
Yep. Yep.
The battle. I think that's considered an okay episode. So we'll, well, if nothing else, I know it's considered better than this one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I, guess that's it for Star, Trek. All right. Well, we'll see you next time then.
Bye, Nii.